ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 सो रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट्स 49 एंड 50 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Acharya Goswami. Shri Prajapatya Uchuhu, Prajesha Vayante Paresha Visrishta, Nayena Praja Vai Srijama Nishidha, Saesha Tvaya Ninavaksha Nushete, Jagan Mangalam Sattva, The Prajapatis offered their prayers as follows. O Supreme Lord, Lord of even Brahma and Shiva, we, the Prajapatis, were created by you to execute your orders, but we were forbidden by Hiranyakashipu to create any more good progeny. Now the demon is lying dead before us, his chest pierced by you. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, whose incarnation in this form of pure goodness is meant for the welfare of the entire universe. Text 50.
Vayam vibhote nata natya gayaka.
Vayam vibhote nata natya gayaka.
Yenatma sadvirya baloja sakrita.
Yenatma sadvirya baloja sakrita.
Sa esha nito bhavata dashamimam.
Vayamito bhavata dashamimam.
Kimut patastha. Kushalaya kalpate.
So continuing, prayers to Nrisimhadevi by the inhabitants of different planets after he had killed Hiranyakashipu. After Nrisimhadevi had killed Hiranyakashipu. Now the demigods and these Gandharvas, they are Upadevas. They're things like almost a demigod. Just like we see some people in India, they're almost demigods. Janmaishwarya Shuta Sri. They're born in a nice family, well educated, have enough money, and are good looking. We see many people from high class families in India. They're almost like demigods. From birth, they live very nicely, but they're not exactly demigods. So the Gandharvas, they're called Upadevas. And now they're praying openly. Before, they were not. They were praying in their hearts, Oh God, when will you come? When will you relieve us from this burden? And you see, Hiranyakashipu is quite dead because his intestines are ripped open by the nails in the lotus hands of Hiranyakashipu. Just like sometimes if you see a snake is killed. Of course, in Bombay you may not see so many snakes, but in the village site, plenty of snakes, especially in the rainy season they come out. So you may see a snake as being killed in Bengal, the village boys. I don't know, maybe from a previous birth or whatever, but they all seem to be quite expert from a very young age in catching snakes. And they'll play. They'll catch a snake by the tail and play with it for some time and then kill it. So if you see a dead snake, you may be even seeing the dead snake, you may be a little bit afraid because you might think, well, maybe it's not dead. Maybe it's just lying there and it'll come back to life again. Something, just the appearance of the snake is so fearful. Snake also has some power. Just even the word snake, it's like if you call someone a snake, just even the very word, it conveys some power. But then a dead snake, a living snake is very powerful, but a dead snake, then you can throw around. Well, just like these snake charmers, they have the drugged up snakes. No one's afraid. Everyone knows it's useless. Not having the power of a snake. So like that, the Gandharvas, they were seeing Hiranyakashipu, he's completely dead, quite dead. And even if he were somehow to come back to life, then Nrisimhadevi is there, who's more powerful. So now they're praying. They're all praying, one by one. They're coming and offering their prayers. Gandharvas are making all of them, they're making the point that whatever we wanted to do was stopped by Hiranyakashipu, now we can do it again. We can just imagine Hiranyakashipu's position. So powerful. Just, he's in charge of everything. He's the boss. Everyone's afraid of him. Just in a second. Finish. Whatever all his plans, all his control, all his pride in a second, finished by Hiranyakashipu. It's finished by Hiranyakashipu, ha, Nrsimhadev, the killer of Hiranyakashipu. So like that, the materialists, for some time, they may appear very proud and very puffed up, but in a second, all gone. Just like Prabhupada several times gave the example of that ship, the Titanic. They were so proud that this ship is unsinkable. And we have designed this ship, it will never sink. It's not possible. It's great. This ship is stronger than nature. Whatever nature can throw at this ship cannot sink this ship. So it went on its first voyage from England to America with all big wigs on board, because they like to, big shots. It's a very aristocratic thing to go on the first voyage of the Titanic. And on the first voyage, it hit an iceberg and sunk. Prabhupada many times gave the example. So you get this Titanic. Now the materialists, they think they're conquering over nature, but nature conquers them. Everyone is under the control of nature. So same thing, they were sitting on the boat and drinking their champagne or whatever they were drinking and talking in a very puffed up way, as puffed up people do. And all of a sudden, there are all this pride. All of a sudden, they come to the same position as a worm. But now they have to die. So they're passing stool in their pants and all this. This is what materialistic people do at the time of death. They pass stool and urine out of fear. If someone is very much afraid, then his bodily, the bodily function, the nerves or whatever it is controlling the flow of urine and stool, becomes suspended and it just flows out of the body. So, as described in Bhagavatam, third canto, Kapila Dev is describing the death of a materialist, that he passes stool and urine at the time of death, seeing the Yamadutas. So like this, Hiranyakashipu also, any puffed up, proud person, so proud, I'm in control, no one can stop me, I have so many plans, suddenly, death. Or even in this very life, we see so many people, just like this. There's some guy, who's that, Sachdev, someone or other. Like that, before him there was this Harshad Mehta. On top of the world, big shot, signing autographs, made his big, all of a sudden, okay, you're under arrest. Go to jail, get jaundiced, and rot in jail. So like this, the materialists, they may think, whatever I'm doing is wonderful, I'm in control, it's all auspicious. And what these devotees are doing, chanting Hare Krishna, wasting their time, because they can't be successful like me. Many people say this. Because you're useless, therefore you have to become a devotee. Maybe true in many of our cases. Devotees, they can't get on in the material world. They just don't get any taste for it. And even if they do, yasyaham anugrihnami harishe taddhanam shane. Krishna, he sees this person's meant to be my devotee. So let's make sure he's not a success in this material world. Krishna may arrange. That's why sometimes people, they say, in India, don't worship Krishna, it's very dangerous. Better you worship Lord Shiva or Durga. Then when you get old, you worship Krishna. Because if you worship Krishna, Krishna says directly in Bhagavatam, I'll take away all your money. So what's the use of worshiping Krishna? Then you can't enjoy life. So that's actually a fact, that the devotees, from the material point of view, they may not be very successful. Just like we see, sometimes people, they come and see our temples, ISKCON Bombay, ISKCON Mayapur. They think, oh, it's very well organized and everything's going on nicely. But if you're actually living in the temple and you're a member of the community, you know that it's 90% spaced out. And it could be organized a lot better. But anyway, we're dealing with devotees, so maybe not meant for all. Of course, that's not our philosophy. We're supposed to do everything, including management, nicely for Krishna. But somehow or other, devotees, they're just different kind of mentality to the materialistic people who are very sharp, on the ball, pick up the phone, do your business, make an investment, just tuned into the material world. How to get ahead in this material world. But devotees, they're interested how to get ahead in Krishna consciousness. And sometimes their mentality is such that they're just not, some devotees especially are very eccentric and they just, you know, even just like to keep their clothes clean or something like that. It seems to be too much of an endeavor for them. So anyway, the materialists, they think that we're getting ahead, we're very successful, everything is wonderful, everything is very nice. We're building big, big buildings, just like Singapore. Yesterday, 2 days ago, we were talking about Singapore. So any devotee, any materialist who goes to Singapore, they think this is wonderful. And any devotee who goes to Singapore, they think this is horrible. Because it's arranged in such a way that everything functions just nicely. And they have nice roads, and now they have a nice mass rapid transit system, which means an underground railway. They give it a fancy name. And so many big buildings, and everything's very efficient, and everyone works in a very cooperative way for the sake of making more and more and more money. And everything seems very nice, and devotees, they feel it's wrong here. They're just trying to make heaven on earth. Little country, Singapore, little city. And then you go outside the city, and there's green golf courses. So organized very nicely so that people can be happy. But, of course, even then there are problems. This is the materialists, they don't like to see. They're rabbit philosophy. Prabhupada spoke about this rabbit philosophy. They're the materialistic people, they want to avoid the facts of life. Sometimes they say to devotees, why don't you be realistic? All this talking about God and why don't you be realistic? You see the world is all around us, just live in it as it is. But actually the devotees, they're being realistic, and the non-devotees, they're being rabbits. Because they're closing their eyes. Why rabbit? Because the rabbit, when the wolf comes to catch him, he runs away. But then if he's trapped, if he can't run, if he knows he's caught, then he simply closes his eyes. Now, I can't see the danger. So in this way, try to forget it. And in a few seconds, the wolf will catch him and rip him to shreds. So in the same way, the materialists, they have rabbit philosophy. Well, never mind. We'll say, you're going to die. Yeah, well, never mind. In the meantime, let's enjoy. And what happens after that? Well, nobody knows. You don't know. I don't know. So anyway, who cares? Now we're here, so let's just live for now. This is a rabbit philosophy. Close my eyes, and for the next half a second, until the wolf catches me, I'll be very happy. And then next second, the rabbit is caught by the wolf and ripped to shreds. So rabbit philosophy. Hiranyakashipu also, rabbit philosophy. He's thinking, I'll make all arrangements to live comfortably, and no one can kill me. He's foolish, because he doesn't... Even he knows, even Hiranyakashipu is a great Vedic scholar, and he knows the power of Vishnu. Even his brother, Hiranyaksha, was not less powerful than him. He was also finished off by Lord Vishnu. So always in the back of his heart, he was afraid of Vishnu. Even though he got all these benedictions, I can't die like this, I can't die like that, I can't die like this, I can't die like that. Always in the back of his mind, he was afraid of Lord Vishnu. So like this, the materialists, they make so many nice arrangements, but always in the back of their heart, they're afraid. Because they know death. Death is waiting. Mrityu sarva harashchana. All the nice arrangements I made will be destroyed by death. But they like the intoxication. Intoxication means the whole materialistic position is like that. It means if you see someone who's intoxicated, he forgets everything. Just like I was reading a Prabhupada lecture, he gave the example of intoxication. That even in many cases, he was saying, a man may rape his own daughter. Because under intoxication, he forgets who he is, who everyone else is, and he acts in the most abominable manner. So like that, in this material world, everyone is intoxicated. Intoxicated means they're forgetting their real position, their real duty, and they're acting in a foolish way. That example also that Jagadananda gave, that Pishachi paile jena matti channa hai maya grasta jiva shape havu doi. Someone who's in this material world, just like a person haunted by a ghost, he becomes covered, his real intelligence becomes covered, and he talks and acts in a way which is not natural for him, as if someone caught by a ghost. So in this very materialistic person, he's intoxicated, he's thinking, I'm very nice, everything's very nice, my home is there, my bank balance is there, my wife is there, all these things. But intoxicated, you can't see that death is coming. So the devotee's position is actually auspicious. Devotee's position is auspicious because he sees Shastra Chakshusha, Jnana Chakshusha. What is the real position? He's not intoxicated. He chants Hare Krishna, and this way his consciousness becomes clean, becomes purified, and he hears Srimad Bhagavatam. These two most important things in devotional life, Shravanam, Kirtanam, hear and chant. By hearing, we will understand what is our actual position. We are not this body. We are spirit soul. We are the eternal servant of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our duty, our position, our all auspiciousness is to serve Him. And by chanting Hare Krishna, that cleanses the heart. So the two things go on together, hearing and chanting. and we become fixed up in our spiritual position. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Bhakti, Shadha Kabunai, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariya Yandoi. This Krishna consciousness is awakened by chanting of Hare Krishna. So this is all these activities, hearing, chanting. So this is the actually auspicious position. How to get free from birth and death. The materialists, they may seem to be in a very good position, but that very good position, after some time, it is broken down. They may seem everything is going on very nicely, but either in this life or maximum by the time of death, their very auspicious position is broken. Someone may be a big tycoon in this life and a worm in stool in the next life. You may be Prime Minister of India one life and a dog the next life. That Prabhupada gave the evidence. One of the Prime Ministers of India. Next life became a dog. So that's so much pride. I'm the Prime Minister. Then the dog is also proud. Why are you coming here? The dog is barking. He's also very proud, but he's a dog. And the master will come and beat him. Stop barking. I was only barking for you. Anyway, shut up. That's his position. Dog position. And then there's so many positions. 8,400,000 kinds of positions. Worm in stool position. Worm out of stool position. Fish, different kinds of fish. So many different positions. And every position puffed up. Just like the big fish swimming in the water. He's a fish, the lowest species of life. Fish is even lower than the plant. Most suffering condition. But the big fish is thinking, I am a big fish. And this is only a small fish. And then among the small fish, there are so many small fish, and he's thinking, well, out of all the small fish, I'm a big small fish. So they're all puffed up. Everyone is puffed up. But their position is inauspicious because janma mrityu jara vyadhi. They have to suffer. Life after life. So a devotee, he's auspicious. Auspicious condition. Because he serves Krishna. He accepts his real position. The materialist thinks, I'll become strong by defying Krishna. Just like Hiranyakashipu. Why should I be the servant? Let me be the master. But he's smashed. Just like we see that example. Devotees coming from the Western countries, they're surprised sometimes to see how all the examples Prabhupada gives, they're actually true. Just like Nitai Pada Kamala was saying about the donkey. Donkey going for sex gets kicked in the face. It's not just something written in the purport of Bhagavad Gita, but it's a fact. And not just kicked once, they'll run down the street, whack, whack, whack. And when there's a few kicks, after a few kicks in the jaw, and it makes a good noise too, if you've heard. It's a good, hits the jawbone. Good thwack. Then after a few times, all right. Now I've showed you who's the boss, now you can enjoy. So Prabhupada, so that materialistic person, his whole thought, how he can enjoy sex, and for that, whack, he has to be harassed by the wife or the girlfriend. Then, all right, now I made you like a worm, now you can enjoy. So inauspicious, the whole material world is inauspicious. And Krishna consciousness, that is inauspicious. So this we should hear. Maybe sitting there thinking, well, I heard this about 1,000 times, what's being spoken today. So, what is the use? Just like so many of our devotees, they don't come to class. They're thinking, well, I've heard it all before. Maybe we could hear something new. But no, we should hear again and again. Same thing. Then we can understand. And if we don't hear, it's a very bad sign. And Prabhupada was saying, again, I'm reading these Prabhupada lectures, he was saying, I'm speaking the same old thing. Actually, it's a fact. If you hear Prabhupada's lectures, mostly it's the same thing he speaks. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to him. And then maybe you could put 15 main categories of the subjects Prabhupada spoke about. Mostly, sometimes even the same stories he'd tell again and again. Akbar and his daughter. So many different, he'd tell the same stories. Sometimes in Prabhupada's class you hear, I have several times said. And then you know you're going to hear something which Prabhupada said hundreds of times. Because he'd mostly get the same examples. Sometimes something a little bit different. Same point, again and again and again. Prabhupada was saying that why you're coming and hearing again and again? Because you have a little taste, little ruchi for hearing. So that means if we don't like to, even we may think, well, I heard that before, Krishna's the Supreme Personality. I heard that, I'm not this body. I heard that before, we have to surrender to Krishna. Well, okay, now I don't need to come to class anymore. I'll read the newspaper during class instead. So, Kali Yuga Purana. So, no, then we should hear again and again, because this is the, even Bhagavatam, we'll find the same subject matter, just like we'll find 10th canto, Everyone's interested. Dasham Skand. Let us hear Dasham Skand. Let us hear how Krishna is dancing with the gopis. Dasham Skand, also we have that famous verse. Yas yatna bodhi kuna peti tatuke swadhi kalatradishu bhuma idjadi yat tirta bodhi salalaina karhi chich janesh navigesha sa eva gokara. In the 10th canto, Lord Krishna is speaking to the great sages who presumably they already know this. But anyway, Krishna is telling them that anyone who identifies with his body, first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, we also find in 10th canto, anyone who identifies with his body, which is just made of mucus, bile and death, anyone who is thinking of his wife, children, friend, family, home and all these things as being wonderful, who identifies with these things, anyone who thinks I'll go to a holy place and take a bath and that's my spiritual life complete, then Krishna says he's no more intelligent than a cow or an ass. This is 10th canto of Bhagavad Gita. So even Krishna, speaking to the great sages, even the same thing. And you see, Prabhupada, no doubt, if anyone doubts, they're ass of the asses, that Prabhupada is greatest topmost devotee, and he's taking great pleasure in preaching again and again and again to people, you're not this body, surrender to Krishna. So if it's good enough for Prabhupada, then is it not good enough for us? I would hope so. It's good enough for Krishna. He comes, he speaks these things again and again. So we should discuss these things again and again so we can understand here. Otherwise we're thinking I'm this body. We're speaking I'm not this body, I'm thinking I'm this body. We're going on like that. I'm not this body, but don't do anything to my body or I'll smack your body in the body's face. See? We're thinking my false pride. No one should say anything to me because I'm the greatest. I was the greatest worm in stool, I was the greatest fish, I was the greatest dog, I was the greatest materialist, and now I'm the greatest devotee. Acknowledge the fact that Krishna is the greatest. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Any question? Comments? Hare Krishna. Are the Gandharvas suffering because of the karma, or what else? What other reason? Any other suggestions?
Yeah. Whatever they do,
heavenly planets means, it's heavenly planets means heaven, swarga, and Vaikuntha is different. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. Swarga doesn't mean no anxiety. Swarga, Krishna says, Brahma Bhumana Loka Punaravatino. He says, Anityam Asukam Lokam. The whole material world is miserable. Heavenly planets means, just like here, I was giving the example. You'll find people from high class Indian families who are, they're born in a very nice cultured family, good looking, well behaved, enough money, well educated. But that doesn't mean they don't suffer. Maybe they suffer in a little bit sophisticated way, but they also suffer anxiety, bad health. They're also suffering. Their position is much better than the guy living next to the drain in the Chopapati, living on top of the open drain. So their position is better. They're still suffering. So heavenly planets also suffering.
The threefold material miseries are everywhere.
Threefold material miseries are everywhere. So we should not aim for the heavenly planets. Aim for Krishna Loka.
Well, at this point you mentioned about any of us very reluctant to come to class because we've had it before.
Well, you hear this sometimes, devotees saying that, well, I heard all the things in the class. How can we get over it? Well, we just come to class, that's it. And if we're bored, well, that's our problem, really. Something wrong with us. If we don't like to hear the message of Bhagavatam, we've got a problem. Sometimes we hear devotees saying, well, I've heard it all before, hear it again and again. Prabhupada also spoke it all before and heard it all before, but he went on speaking. And Krishna also, he goes on speaking in every creation, gives the knowledge to Brahma. He doesn't say, hey Brahmaji, it's getting a little boring, let's have a look at the cartoon, see what's going on. No, he speaks the same thing. Not that, let's make up some new stories. Creative intelligence. Same thing, speaks the fact. don't like class, then we have a problem. Serious problem in our spiritual life. Of course, one devotee once was saying, he said to Prabhupada, well, the speakers are no, they're not very good. And Prabhupada said, well, then you give the class. If you don't think they're any good, you give the class.
Another question, the example you gave of Krishna himself speaking philosophy to the sages, and Prabhupada also is the example of always speaking philosophy. Does that mean devotees should avoid discussing thinking about things like Rasleela, Krishna Leela when preaching?
Should we avoid speaking about Rasleela when preaching? Yeah, mostly in preaching, what are we going to preach Rasleela? Who are we going to speak to? Mostly we have to tell people, first of all, kindly put out your cigarette and then we'll discuss. What are you going to speak Rasleela to them?
So many devotees are doing Bhagavad Sattva other things. So in the end of many times that is.
Well, Prabhupada, he didn't encourage Bhagavad Sattva. Of course, he told Jashavati Nandan Prabhu to become a, just like there's the tradition to have Bhagavad Katha, so he told him to do it. You do it. So better our devotees do it rather than anyone else. But these Kathakas, the people who do the Bhagavad Pravachans, what they mostly do is they have someone sitting in the corner reciting the shlokas, and they'll just jump up to the 10th canto. So that's not authorized. Even the whole idea of Bhagavad Sapta, Prabhupada didn't like. You'll see right in the beginning of his Bhagavad commentary, he says, no, you should. The people come, they think we'll listen for 7 days, then we'll go back to our materialistic life, we'll get some punya. But Prabhupada would always quote Nityam Bhagavad, say that daily we have to hear Bhagavatam. Not that you hear for 7 days and then go home and drink your tea and I got some punya. You should hear daily, regularly. And why jump up to the 10th canto? Why don't, right from the very beginning, let's see, Shukadeva Goswami, the first thing he says to Parikshit Maharaj. Let's see if we can, the first things he says, that people in materialistic life, they're very attached, they talk all nonsense, they're not interested in Atma Tattvam, Griheshu Grihamedinam, Payana Alpaisa Sabya, Kalavas. Anyway, I'm getting it. That's the wrong word. Shodhev Yadini Rajendra, Vinam Santi Sahasrasha. Like this, he goes on with his different shlokas. But they don't like to hear, they attach their family life. So let's see if we can get past that. Then we can go on. Then we may come to the 5th canto. Nayam deho deham hajam riloke kashtam kaman arhate virbhujange tapo devyam putraka yena sattvam shudhyat tasma brahmasokyantuna. That materialistic people, they're just like stool-eating hogs. They're interested in sense gratification. They should give it up. Take up austerity for the sake of purification. Let us assimilate this. Then, when it's nicely assimilated, we can go up more. Of course, it's not that there's a ban on speaking about Krishna Leela, not at all. But we should not at all. I mean, that's our ultimate goal, of course, is to understand Krishna Leela. But the point is the emphasis. Now, where should put the, you know, Bhagavatam class has meant mostly for understanding, we see Prabhupada spoke for understanding this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Not that Krishna Leela is banned. We shall not speak. We should speak. Who is speaking? The imitation devotees, they are speaking. They're all simply to cheat people. So devotees, we should just speak. We should speak, we should discuss. Actually, you'll find in, just like among advanced devotees, or especially previously in Indian culture, there would be so many, even now, sometimes myself I discuss with some devotees, and just like any normal thing, they'll give, any activity in life or whatever, something's going on, they'll give some example from Ramayana or Mahabharata, just like someone's having an argument with someone about this, and they'll say, they'll give an example from Shastra, like this. So always discussion, just like the consciousness is full of them, because they're always hearing Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam. So if our consciousness is full with that, then anything we see, anything we do, we'll give, naturally we'll think, and we'll give the example. Who do you think you are, Hanuman, that you can jump over the sea? You think you can do such great things? Like that we may give the example. Instead of giving the example of Cassius Clay or something, we give the example of Hanuman. Just a matter of consciousness, how the consciousness is absorbed by hearing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam.